Good morning. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian. Please have you seated. I have a few announcements I'd just like to bring to your attention. Movie night, Friday, September 16th. We're going to show the movie The Sound of Music. You're encouraged to dress up in anything that might remind you of that movie, but by all means, if you're not dressed up, come anyway. Wear your jeans and enjoy the evening. The second announcement, choir. We are in desperate need of more sopranos and altos or anything. So if you're at all interested, please speak to any of the choir members or speak to Renata, and we'll get on with our practices. We look forward to having you with us. The last thing I would like to mention, I'm mentioning this because I think it's very special. This is Ken and Norma LePage's 60th wedding anniversary. That's so special. And now, Mo will light the candle.
Today we light the Christ candle to remind us that Christ lights the way home for us. Let us enter into a moment of silence before we begin the call to worship. Our responsive call to worship is printed in the order of service. God is searching and seeking, even though we are wandering and wayward. God never gives up, even when we have lost our way. Let us come to worship the God who seeks and searches. Our opening hymn is number 338, Let All Things Now Living. Let us pray. O Lord, you seek us until we are found. You search for us even as we are lost. You celebrate us even in our foolishness and mistakes. It is the God who seeks us that we come to worship. It is the God who holds us in our fear and who sends us and sends to us even in our pain and suffering. Be with us this morning. Hold the light for us. We thank you that we know the joy of our salvation, the hope of eternal life, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the presence of your Son, Jesus. In the moments when we feel lost, may we just trust. In the moments when we realize that we have strayed, may we return home to your loving embrace. When we recognize that we have created pain and hurt in the life of another, let us turn our faults into the opportunity to build your kingdom. We pray this together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear these words from Christ. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So go forth in the power of the Almighty who forgives you and loves you. Amen. Our children's hymn is number 377. Come, children, join to sing. Everybody's back from their first week of school. How was it? Good? Oh, not so good? Oh, that's it. Sorry, your homework? Your homework is easy. That's good. Yeah. Well, I brought somebody with me. Can I borrow a hand? Who's got a hand that I can borrow? All right. What is that? What is it? It's a wolf, right. But can that wolf talk? Yeah. Could. It could talk, yeah. How could it talk? If you move it, yeah, if you move your hand. And if you give it what? If you're a really good ventriloquist, which means you can make it look like it's talking and you're not talking, but it needs some help, right? Because it's a puppet, right? And unless you give it some words and some actions, it wouldn't be able to talk. Can you give it some words? Hi. He says hi. You know, and this puppet I brought with me to remind me of how I want to live my life in Jesus. Because Jesus has no hands but our hands. No feet but our feet, no voices in the world but our voices. And that kind of reminds me of the puppet, if I can borrow him back again. This puppet can only say hi if he's got some help. And he can only bark at you.
if he's got some help. And that's kind of how it is when we live our life in Jesus Christ and when we live our life for God, is that we become like God's puppet, that the words that he would like us to speak of kindness to friends, the actions as we go to school that we can do that can help one another and be kind, can be the words and actions that Jesus would have us do. You say your homework is easy. Well, maybe there's somebody that finds it really hard that would help. Writing about your summer. Some people find it hard. Maybe if you're a new refugee and you don't know the language, it would be a really hard job, wouldn't it, to write about your summer. Maybe some of you that have difficult weeks can reach out and help some of those that have that are also having difficult weeks, and you might make a new friend. We can keep an eye out for people that need new friends, or the people that maybe that are walking home alone, and we can say, I'll be Jesus' puppet. I'll say words that are encouraging. I'll do actions that are helpful. So let's say a little prayer together, and everybody can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, help us to help others. Help our hands to be your hands, our feet to be your feet. Help us to say kind words. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning, and we will sing the verse 3.
Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 14, and we will sing refrain 1. In their hearts, there is no God. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in their error, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of the people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad.
Glory, Lord, your glory, Lord.
We will continue our reading of God's holy word in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verses 22 through 28. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void. And to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all. And all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert. And all the cities were laid in ruin before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation. Yet I will not make a full end. Because of this the earth shall mourn, and the heavens grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. And turning to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And finally, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, we encounter a number of parables that Jesus is telling. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have just found my lost sheep. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the other 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the lost coin, the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let us turn in our hymnals and sing number 358. There is a Redeemer. Well, being lost can be both a frightening and frustrating experience. Occasionally, it can be an adventure that takes you somewhere interesting. But by and large, when we are lost, we are either very annoyed or outright panicked. If we're late, we may be frustrated. If we're truly, deeply lost, such as in a forest by ourselves, we can feel very overwhelmed and frightening. I remember one year we were driving from Dunedin to Orlando, Dunedin to Orlando, having gone to see a Jays game there, and we had a brand new GPS system. And I had navigated us to Dunedin and decided I'll sleep and let my sister navigate us home to Orlando. Well, 3 hours later, I woke up expecting to be driving into Florida, and I looked out the window, and for those of you that have driven in that part of the world, there's a long causeway with water on both sides to get into Dunedin. And I woke up and I looked and I thought, the water's on the wrong side of the car to be going in the direction we should be going in. And then about 30 seconds later, the sign popped up saying, "Welcome to Dunedin." And I don't know how they did it for 3 hours. And then, you know, of course, then there's the family argument and discussion about who's stupider than who and the whole nine yards. Don't think just because we're a pastor's family that we're any better than anybody else. But then the frustrating part of finding our way back through rush hour traffic and the whole nine yards. Well, sometimes we're physically lost like the coin. When you think about it, the coin has no power on its own to find its way back to its owner. It cannot shout, "Hey, look over here," or shine a little brighter to draw attention to itself. The coin is a story of being lost and having no power to change its circumstances. It must wait. Sometimes we too find ourselves in circumstances that we have no power to change. We must wait. Sometimes we are lost like the sheep who strayed from the shepherd. And if you've ever watched shepherding in the Holy Lands, it is much more challenging than it is here in Canada. Here in Canada, we tend to open up the barn door and shoo the sheep out into a fenced-in, enclosed pasture land with perfectly grown food for the sheep. But in the Holy Lands, the shepherd must lead the sheep along dangerous and winding paths with slippery slopes and unguarded steep inclines. Vegetation is sparse, so it is often a long journey to watering holes and grazing pastures. And the shepherd must time those correctly because he's on the edge of a desert. And if his sheep get too thirsty or too tired before he gets to one or the other, they're in trouble. Sheep that wander away from the shepherd are at risk for injury and predatory animals. And they become frightened once they are separated and darkness falls, especially if they become trapped in the bramble and entangled by their wool. Unlike other animals, they don't have the skills to find their way home. They too must wait. And in the middle of these stories of being lost, there is one word that gives me comfort. It is the word until. We have an until God, a God who searches for us until we are found. In verse 4, it says, "Does he not go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" If you were to go to the zoo with 3 children, do you only come home with 2? Of course not. If you go into the woods with 10 children and only 9 come out on the path, do you not leave the 9 and go searching for the 1? Is that even a question? There is no other option. There is no other reasonable choice but to go searching. And this weekend, we're reminded of a real, live, on-air 9/11 search.
The documentaries are up of those families that lost a loved one in 9/11. And they're searched through the streets of New York. Every signpost had a picture of who they were looking for. They searched the pictures that were posted. They went to every hospital. They took down those towers bucket by bucket looking for their loved ones. And this is what Jesus is trying to communicate to an audience that believed that they were the only ones worthy of God's love. And Jesus challenges that. They believed they were the only ones who lived a life holy enough to be God's chosen. And Jesus was saying that there is no power in our own lives, and that it is solely the power of God's love in our lives that searches until He finds us. That is the power that speaks. We are wholly dependent on God, and God is worthy of our trust and love because God seeks until we are found. In verse 8, the example of the woman who loses a coin says, "Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? With no windows and an earthen floor, it would have been a challenging search." Don't think that these are just the coins that fall between our sofas that we find when we finally get around to vacuuming that sea of crackers and dust and kids' toys and everything else that gathers there. Jesus picked the most valuable thing that one could possibly have. These coins were the woman's dowry. She was worth literally nothing without these coins. These coins were her future. To not have them to offer in a contract for marriage was to be sentenced to die alone. Her entire future depended on finding the lost coin. I find it irritating when someone's house or someone's property has been destroyed and somebody says, "Oh, it's just only stuff." Yes, but no. Our stuff fundamentally connects us to who we are. It is part of our memories. It points us towards the future. It holds meaning for us. And I'm not saying we worship or hoard it, but that woman's coins was part of who she was and who she would be. If you were to put it in today's terms, if you knew you had the winning lottery ticket but lost it, would you not turn the house upside down to find it? That's how valuable it was. So let me ask you, have you got an until God? Do you know that God searches for you until you are found? No matter how many times you get lost or feel that you've strayed away or don't have the power to change your circumstances? Or do you think that God is a when or if or maybe God? Maybe God loves me if I am someone else other than me. Maybe I can be in God's presence and perhaps God is out there somewhere. Or do you believe that God searches for you until you are found? Sadly, if Jesus were to be telling this story today, we are still a culture that both self-excludes, believing that we're not good enough, and looking around us and believing that we should exclude others from the fold. We should build the walls. We should keep certain people out. Make sure everybody's well-dressed, well-behaved. We need to be the church that Jesus talked about and was pointing towards with these parables. Because even more so, the story of the prodigal son, which follows, is an even more horrendous telling of acceptance to that audience. The prodigal son, through foolish choices that were offensive to his audience, took his father's inheritance, an extreme insult, to say, I wish you were dead so I could have your money, and then didn't even do anything worthwhile with it. He completely squandered it on the most vile ways of living that he could tell. This is a shocking story. You couldn't have picked a more repugnant occupation to the Jewish audience than to work feeding pigs, something that was completely against their religious beliefs. And Paul's conversion, he completely names himself as a blasphemer, a man of violence, the least worthy person to be carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to the early Christian church. When it came time for Paul's conversion and God calls people to convert Paul and heal him, they're like, I'm not going anywhere near that man. I know his reputation. And in their bravery, they went anyway, answering the call. Paul believed the murdering of the early Christians was the right thing to do in his zealousness for the Jewish faith before he was converted himself. Scripture actually recorded that he was at the stoning of Stephen and the heart of a cruel movement to torture and kill members of the early Christian church. But God still chose Paul. That is a stupid decision. That doesn't make any sense. Unless you believe that you have a God that searches until. Paul believed absolutely that he was doing the right thing. And it reminds me that we need to be constantly asking ourselves, are we doing the right thing? We may mean to be doing the right thing. We may think we're helping people. But as history has told us over and over again, unless we are reflecting and looking and searching and seeking, we can be doing a lot of damage in places we mean to be doing good. The father went running towards and embraced his lost son. The sheep didn't know any better, but they were still found. The coin had no power, but diligence and hard work lifted it from the soil of the floor. And the son willingly chose the wrong path. It doesn't matter. God seeks us until we are his and fully his. And it doesn't matter if you're the 100th sheep over and over and over again. That shepherd will come looking for you. In the mystic tradition of Christianity, some writers of poetry and music have envisioned the pursuit of God as the pursuit of the lover. And I'd like to close with a poem from St. Teresa of Avila. It's called, My Beloved One is Mine. I gave myself to love divine, and lo, my lot so changed is that my beloved one is mine, and I at last am surely his. When the sweet huntsman from above first wounded me and left me prone into the very arms of love, my stricken soul forthwith was thrown. Since then, my life's no more my own, and all my lot so changed that my beloved one is mine, and I at last am surely his. May you know the love of an until God today. May you be the ambassador of that love in the world. Amen. I came across the story of a woman. She said, one evening I was going back from a supermarket. As I approached my car, I noticed that some person came and stood beside me. He was the one that could have been considered as a bum. It seemed that he had no car, no home, and no job. I expected that he will ask me for money, but he did not do that. He only said, your car is very nice. After several moments of silence, I replied, thanks. And then the inner voice told me, ask him if he needs help. After a short hesitation, I asked him if he needed any help.
His response was astonishing. I will never forget three simple words that I heard from him. Don't we all? It was a true discovery to me. I needed help. Although I had money and a place to sleep, I recognized that I too needed help. Then I opened my wallet and I gave him enough money to get a meal and some shelter for the day. Suddenly I understood that no matter how much money, achievements, luxury things that we have, we all need help. On the other hand, no matter how poor you are, how many material problems you have, you still might offer help to others, still might be giving. Even if it's just a nice word, you can give and it can be priceless to that other person. Let us remember as we take up this morning's offerings that it is a symbol that we all need help.
We offer our prayers for the world, for ourselves, for those in our communities. Is there anything you want me to be praying for this morning? Anybody want to just name? Yes. For Jim? Sharon? Cheryl. Sharon? Okay. Pam, thank you. Ruth and Portia? Did I hear Portia? Joanne? Eleanor and Wynn? Okay.
Margaret?
And Steve. I also think we want to be in prayer this morning on the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 happenings. I know for many of us that still is a shocking event, and for the families that grieve and wonder and for the trauma that is renewed on this day. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come to you with the deepest needs of our hearts. We come to you, each one of us, acknowledging that we all need help, that there are moments when we feel lost and alone. And so we come together as a community to pray for ourselves and to pray for each other. We ask that you would be present to us. We ask that we would know that moment of celebration when we truly know that we are found. We pray for all those that are in this community that are hurting in some way. For those that have received bad news, we ask that you would be with them, comfort and keep them in your care. Bring them to a place of peace that passes all understanding. We pray for those that are anxious, for those that are awaiting news, for those that are awaiting test results and decisions and changes in life. We pray for those that have faced unexpected changes. We pray that you will send people to walk alongside them in those difficult moments, to provide wisdom and advice, encouragement and support. We think of all those that are grieving, the loss of family and friends, pets, livelihoods, for those that are seeking employment opportunities and are feeling discouraged, we lift them to you. We think of all those that are homeless. We think of those that are struggling as refugees. And we pray for compassion around the world. We pray that we would bring resolutions and peace. And we pray for all those that are serving in military and peacekeeping missions, that wisdom and justice would prevail. We think of governments being elected around the world and ask for wisdom for those that are voting. We name before you all those that have been named in this congregation, for Jim, Sharon, Pam, Ruth, Portia, Joanne, Elaine, Wynn, Margaret, and Steve, and for all those that weren't named. We ask that you would bless and keep them, be with them. We also think of all those this morning that are grieving, especially those that have been affected by 9/11. We pray for our world that is been so traumatized by those events. We pray for closure for the families. We pray that it would not continue to fuel words of hatred and acts of war, that as a nation we can heal from the hurt that was caused that day. Lord, as we leave this place, may we go knowing that you go with us. May we be your hands and your feet in the world. May we use our voices to offer encouragement and comfort to all those that we meet. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who walks with us in our suffering and who celebrates with us in our finding. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 350, To God Be the Glory. Out into the world knowing that God seeks you until God finds you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever.